So this is creating a mastermind challenge, 5 days of something, how to create, you know, your 5 day mastermind, your 5 day masterclass, your 5 day challenge. And today's topic is all about pricing. But as we talk about pricing, we're going to talk about the whole ball of wax here in the mastermind. So we started off by finding out what was your framework. And your framework is, what problem are you solving in this masterclass or mastermind? And so part of coming up with our framework is we have to really work on our story. And that's, we're going to talk about Sherry's story here in a little bit, because she has a speaking engagement coming up. And so we're going to hear her speech, which is what she's going to incorporate into her business and into her story. Now, I want to give a little side note here. We went to Gatlinburg over the weekend and we saw a couple of tribute shows. And when we went into the first tribute show, the guy was singing the Jason Aldean songs. And he looked like Jason Aldean. He sounded like Jason Aldean. It was a tribute to Jason Aldean. But he didn't tell us his story. He just sang. And he was good. But as the songs went on, I felt myself getting not really bored, but you know, I was just kind of like, okay, so we're just going to sit here and because there was three different people giving a tribute. And I thought, okay, we're just going to sit here and listen to great music. That's fine. But I didn't feel like I was connecting with him as a person. He was just singing Jason Aldean songs, you know, and Mark is like, you know, we could, you know, karaoke is a lot cheaper than this. And I'm like, okay, shut up, Mark. I mean, he was good. You don't get me wrong.
Isn't it funny how you could just hear Mark saying that, Debbie?
So now the next guy comes on and he was a Kenny Rogers tribute singer. And when he walked out, of course, he looked a little bit like Kenny Rogers, you know, but again, you knew it wasn't Kenny Rogers. And so he came out singing a Kenny Rogers song. And then he sat on a stool and he told us his story. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I've battled cancer. He said 3 years ago, he said, I just wanted to survive. He said, I wasn't worried about my singing career. He said, Kenny Rogers and I were friends before he passed. He said, we knew each other very well. And he said, and I used to do this tribute show in Las Vegas. And he said, but then he said, I went through the whole cancer scare. And he said, of course, all the chemo and the radiation and everything that goes with that. And he said, and I just wanted to live. And he said, and now he said, this week, he said, I turn 81. And he said, and the last checkup, he said, I am totally cancer free. And he said, I was able to spend time with Kenny, and Kenny and I were good friends. And you know what? All of a sudden, everyone in the audience was leaning in. Yes. Why? Because he was being authentic and sharing his story. And so every time he sang a Kenny Rogers song, he got a standing ovation. You see the difference. And the only difference was he shared his story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting. So
then fast forward. And the last guy, of course, was an Elvis impersonator. Amazing singer. Incredibly talented. Didn't share his story. I caught myself looking at the time. Mm. So we left that theater and we said, wow, wasn't that Kenny Rogers guy something else?
All you talked about was him.
Yes. And when we were taking pictures, I took pictures with all of them going out of the theater, but I really felt like I connected with him. And Debbie, you just did. On Friday, you just did your facilitation of the third session of your 5 sessions where you're facilitating. And we talked about everyone communicates, but few connect. And so the story is what made the connection. And you guys probably felt it right here. And I'm telling it secondhand.
Yeah.
And so then we went from there over to another theater in the same little strip center. We went over to the other theater and it was a Red Skelton tribute show. Ooh. The big shows aren't open. They don't open until April. and we were like a week early. It's okay. So it kind of reminded me of On Broadway and Off Broadway. When you're in Gatlinburg, it's like On Parkway and Off Parkway. The big shows on the Parkway aren't open yet. They don't open till April, but the little Off Parkway ones back in the little strip centers were open. And so we go to this Red Skelton tribute. Same thing. He comes out, he's imitating Red Skelton. It's funny. He looks like him. He talks like him. He walks like him. I mean, you feel like you're watching Red Skelton. And then in the middle of the show, he sits down on the stool and tells his story. And again, everyone in the audience was leaning in. He gets a standing ovation after that. And the difference is his story. So I said to Mark, I said, you hear me on these calls all the time talking about your storytelling is your marketing. And I said, you saw firsthand how powerful the story is. The story is more important than the talent. So when you're out there doing your thing, remember the story is more important than the talent, than the product. It's more important than the service. Mm-hmm. So now that I've set that up, Sherry is an author already, and she is in the process of authoring yet another book, which I can guarantee you is going to come out as a number one bestseller because it's the process that we're using, the publisher that we're using. That's one of the guarantees, is that your book comes out a number one bestseller. And so Sherry is going to be a number one bestseller, and then she can use that number one bestseller little logo on all her material, all her books, and in all her advertising. And so don't forget to incorporate that in your story, Sherry, on how you became a number one bestselling author. But she has the opportunity to give a speech, and she's coming. Can I say that? Yes, you're coming. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah, I did not reserve the bed and breakfast yet, or the Airbnb, whatever you want to call it. But other than that, I have a flight, and I'm going to get my Uber ahead of time so they can. I didn't know you could do that, so I went on both Lyft and Uber will let you book ahead of time, which I was like, oh man, that makes things easier.
Yeah. Now the only thing when you do that is make sure that, and I don't know if you were able to do this on Uber, when you book ahead of time, can you put in your flight number in case your flight gets delayed?
I don't know. I didn't go through the whole process yet. That's one thing I have to do.
But if you can make comments or leave a comment, make sure that you put your flight number and that you're flying in so that they can follow the flight number. It's an app open to the public. Everybody, either of you followed flight numbers before? Mm-hmm. Online. So they do that, and Uber drivers are probably up on that, especially if they're picking up, you know, from the airports. And that way, because you're not gonna be able to call him from the air to say, no, we're late.
I know.
That way he'll know to follow your flight. So, yeah.
I'm thinking that was part of the process, but I did notice that Lyft was going to be about $20 cheaper than Uber.
I've been using Lyft more than Uber.
Yeah. And we just recorded this for the world to hear. So anyway.
That's okay. That's what a mastermind's all about. So Debbie.
Yeah, Sherry, is this book the one that you're doing with Wendy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And Patricia Wooster with Wooster Publishing. Patricia Wooster is the publisher. And so anyway, just on a side note, before we segue over to Sherry's speech, checkbooking.com. Sometimes you can get cheaper rooms there than on Airbnb.
Yeah, I did kind of start looking. I kind of picked out the place. I just didn't confirm it yet.
So, okay. So you're all good there.
It's going to be about 4 miles from where the speech is. So I'll have to walk. I have to walk a 5K before I start my day. So I'm going to be getting, unless I can get a ride, over.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to stay with us the rest of the time?
Yes, that was Thursday into Friday.
Okay.
before you got there. So I don't know where you are compared to where that is, but we can talk about that at another time.
Yeah. No. So wherever you are, we can come and get you.
Okay. All right. It looked like it was about it looked like Publix was farther towards the ocean than Aloft is. So I may have a little walk to get some food when I get there.
Pack some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's all good. It's all about traveling. It's all about her trip. And so she is going to give a speech about her portion of this collaborative effort book project. And she's going to practice her speech on us today. So Sherry, take it away.
I recall sitting at my electric typewriter. I was in college trying to create a 2-page paper, and I kept going through the onion paper. I went through an entire package just to get a 2-page paper written. I also lost several jobs over my lifetime where lack of communication skills was the reason for my dismissal. I was so afraid to write, to speak, to share my voice. So, do you procrastinate when you're asked to write? How many of you get the hair on the back of your neck standing up when you have to write that report?
Oh, yes.
Well, back in January, I noticed that the National Center for Education Statistics released some pandemic reading and math scores for our students. Did you know that fourth grade students' reading proficiency is down 23% and math proficiency is down 50%? But you ever have one of those statistics that really wanted to make you vomit? Well, here's mine. Writing scores, 75% are basic. So when you're looking at the scale, basic is below proficient. 75% of our students are in basic level of writing. When I look at the statistics for disability, 1 out of 3 people across the world have a writing disability. That's 1 in 3. Statistics also say that 1 in 5 people have trouble reading. I think we need to stop the writing pandemic. Writing is not just about picking up a pencil, not about writing something on a computer. It's about effectively communicating letters, words, sentences, and paragraphs to someone else. Did you know it all starts up here in the brain? Everyone is called to lead our students through love, excellence, abundance, and diligence. So what do I mean by love? Cognitive science states that not resolving the decision is key to lifelong learning. So what do I mean by cognitive science states that not resolving the problem is the key to lifelong learning? So this is where I'm hoping that Wendy is going to let me like throw something up on the screen. I'm going to show the purple dots that we're using. I'm like, how many dots can you see? Oh, I took it away much faster than you were able to count them, right? I left you think about this image in your brain so you could process it. What I just showed you is one of the many quick dots that my partner and I use to help express cognitive-based learning and not giving away the answer immediately so that your brain can think about it. Excellence. By leveling up our interventions, all students can shine. Quick dots shines a light on achievement, not standards, not grades. It also helps the neural systems that are the foundation for learning. Here are some examples of student using the purple X, and I'm going to show a couple of those. Their perspective and understanding of how they see becomes truly parent as a student. I believe that we need to stop this writing pandemic. Demand excellence on student achievement and grades and student, not grades and student achievement. Abundance. Thriving, abundant classroom yield tomorrow's Einsteins and Edisons. Another tool that my partner and I use is called the handstand flip. Okay, we're going to stand up, put your hands toward the ceiling, squeeze your abs and your glutes together. Oh, don't let those palms drift forward. Mm-mm. Now, I want you to concentrate on breathing for a few moments. Breathe in for 4, out for 8. You may sit. That is the handstand flip. Why the handstand flip? The handstand flip prepares our bodies, our cognitive neurons for writing. You are now ready to engage in more learning. Assessing that neurological system opens the abundance for learning channels. Stop the writing pandemic and open those neural channels. Diligence. Diligence in lesson planning must be intentional. Teachers and parents must intentionally place techniques like the quick dots and the handstand flip into their schedule. Break those chains that are prohibiting students from accessing their education. Research states that explicit, systematic, cumulative, and multisensory education is improving the national scorecard for education. In years to come, it will also improve adult statistics, like that 45%. But I caution you, as I reflected today on the impact of LEAD on our students, my challenge to you is go love yourself. Go shine excellence in the activities that you do. Have abundance in the expectations you have on yourself and be diligent about your goals. Stop the writing pandemic. Lead yourself to victory and our kids will follow.
Very nice.
Now, very nice.
I love that you started with the story. It mm-hmm. made us connect with you before you got into the statistics. Mm-hmm. So I love yes. that you started with the story. Now, the only advice I would give is because I know the whole speech is about your book, which is Becoming You. Uh-huh. The only thing that I'm missing in that whole speech is I understand your story. I understand the statistics. I understand the objective. How did you and your partner starting this business help you become you? I would like to see a personal, just at the end somewhere, I'd like to see you weave in a personal ending.
Yeah, I was running out of time in my thing and all right.
But anyhow, just sleep on that one. But I would kind of like to see you tie the ends together, the personal story at the beginning and a personal story at the end, and sandwich your statistics and your systems in between there and end it with, you know, and now that I have recognized all of this, or I have realized all of this, I now know what my object in life is. I now understand what my purpose is. And so I am now bringing this to you because that is what becoming me is all about.
Yeah.
So I mean, even something just that short.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot of the becoming you and looking at future and really trying to, because I know you guys know I've been looking at what to do with Esther book. And I think I figured out the Esther book, highlights as I am going through that. And so LEAD was the first of the two acronyms. The second one is IMPACT, intentional, metacognition, perspective, action, consistency, and transcendence. And what I'm trying to do right now is put together a 12-part series using LEAD for IMPACT as a business development entity to what I'm doing. And I was talking to one of my clients this morning, and she's like, Sherry, you light up when you talk about the business. You are flat when you talk about dysgraphia. I know your passion is business building.
Interesting.
Wait a minute, what was that last part you just said?
I know your passion, is business building.
Oh.
And she's right. She and I have been working
together. Did that resonate with you?
That's where I am. And I knew that myself, but I didn't know how to transition. And this summit that I'm doing, our questions are about the building of the business, not the nuts and bolts of everyday activities. Right. And the thing that I want to produce after the fact is building business from being a school-based therapist. So as I'm doing this, it's not like I didn't need to discount what I've already got. It's a build on top of it. Mm-hmm. But I had this aha, like I've been like this, going to this course that I've been going to has really made this thing go poom, poom. And one of the things that she teaches is how to ascend. Mm. So she calls it the ascension model. I'm going to flip it around my webcam and you're going to see my messy room, but go ahead. I'm going to show it anyway. That
Okay.
ascension model. I know you can't read it from where you are, but basically you start at the bottom and that is your list.
Okay.
Now you can still hear me. I'm still on the regular mic. I'm not on the webcam mic, right?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yes.
Okay. The second one is what I've got going on so far. The third one is where is the business building section. And then the top one is a VIP framework that I'm building out. So it was, Cindy was not the first thing, but she reinforced it this morning. She's like, your passion really is the business building. And I think that's why you and I connect, Kathy, because of the business building part of it. And when I'm on the calls with you, I am much more excited than I am when I'm trying to do anything with dysgraphia. And so it was like a realization.
Wow.
Now I had
a huge aha moment for you.
Yeah. And Michael is probably going to go berserky on me because I'm, because
when you go, I want to add this other whole lane.
Because he's trying to, well, so Michael is currently building a platform like Keep, K-E-A-P, for me. That's going to have my CRM, my SMS platform, my email list, website, like it's going to have everything contained in one place. And he's going to go, you're doing what? And we've titled it Disability Labs. But what I want to do is I want to get, I want to, and it kind of goes on to the last part of what I say in the Becoming You book is it's where I want to go and have this retreat center.
Well, oh, we've that in
for retreat center.
Weave that into your story. Weave that in at the end.
So, I agree. I mean,
so,
because again, that's where your audience is going to hear your passion. Weave that in at the end. Even if you have to condense some of your statistics, the storytelling, nobody's going to remember any of the statistics. The statistics, let me say this, your statistics should support your story. Your story should not support your statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Yeah. And so I'm really looking at like how to build and get to where my passion really is lying. I so do not want to be an AOTA approved provider. I want to have the freedom to get out there and help people.
So if you're helping your audience, let's go back to square one in what we're doing here today. What problem are you solving and for whom are you solving it?
I think the thing that I'm solving is how to access the cognitive base before kids start learning, and it's a gap that the teachers are not strategically using. So I'm actually, one of the things that Cindy said to me is like, you're not teaching dysgraphia. You are teaching the access to learning. And I'm like, yes, I know. And so I have to reword a lot of the stuff. And going back to the 5-day challenge, I realized that today that I'm marketing it wrong. And so maybe by doing some rebranding on some of the wording throughout it, I will catch the audience that I want to catch. And that, but she was very said that I have some work to do on making it better, but hey, you know what? It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Cause you have more clarity. Now, my next question, you're still working with teachers and parents and students. When you're talking about building a business, who is your audience and what problem you're solving on business building?
OTs and teachers.
Okay.
And probably the OTs more than the teachers, but yet I think the two of them need to pair together. Building a collaborative thing where the OT is bringing in their expertise, the teacher's bringing their expertise and pulling them together. And that's one of the things John Lee and I keep talking about is we are better together than we are apart.
Yes. And just for those of you that have been involved in taking care of anybody that's in the healthcare system, we all know how disconnected the whole healthcare system is. I mean, you know, you go to your primary care doctor and he says, oh, you need to go have this test and you got to go someplace else, clear across town, get the test. Somebody else reads it. Now you have another doctor, you know, I mean, and then they go, oh, well, you need this procedure done. Oh, well, your primary care doctor doesn't do that procedure. The guy that did the test doesn't do that procedure. So now they send you to somewhere else to do the procedure. And you're kind of like, could all of you like talk to each other?
No,
because then you go back to your primary care.
Yeah, because there's an electronic medical record that they read and it's whatever got put in the documentation. They don't really talk to one another anymore.
Right.
They're supposed to put them in the documents.
Yeah.
Well, but even then we all know the game, you know, from kindergarten where we whisper something to our neighbor and by the time it gets clear around the room, it's not anything close to what the original sentence was. And so how does that work in the medical profession when somebody has their interpretation of what went on? And I understand that there's medical lingo and I'm amazed that it gets translated as well as it does, but there is a certain amount of disconnect. And I can see in our education program, there is a certain amount of disconnect when these kids have IEPs and, you know, and then they have this and they have to go there and do this. And there's just this disconnect. And then the poor teacher has, you know, however many kids in the classroom that they're dealing with on a daily basis.
And they have to reteach because the kid missed what they were teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And kids need to be in the classroom to have their support services.
Barry, and your message is hugely important. Kudos to you. We're behind you 100%. So I want to segue over to Debbie, though. And Debbie, give us your critique on her speech. What was your thoughts?
Well, I agree with more at the end. Don't leave them hanging. I mean, I felt like you dropped me off right there at the curb and you missed something at the end. And how much time is used when you use the example of the stand-up method? I mean,
okay.
Is there something where you could, you know, just show it on a slide or something? Because that will cut down and give you more time to add what you need to add.
Right.
And I mean, a lot of people aren't going to stand up. I mean, really, when you think about it. And
my point was, my point with having them stand up is that cognitive trigger that brings them back into the conversation. I don't relay that well enough. I don't think in the 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've answered a question for me. you're only given 5 minutes to speak. And do you have the ability to do slides?
That's kind of what I said to Kathy is, I don't know if I'm going to be able to use slides. And that I have to confer with Wendy. And if that's the case, I'm going to have to alter the speech or find a way to demonstrate. So I thought about getting the Purple X and putting it on a stick, like a big, you know, those big heads that you put on a stick.
Oh, yeah.
And going, here's the Purple X. Here's one of the kids. Here's one of the kids. Here's one of the kids. Because I'm going to have three, going to show three examples while I'm talking. So that was my alternative, was showing that. And I just, the three kids that I picked, their images, the reason I picked those is one of them is almost right on par. One of them, it just wrote an X on her paper. And the other one decided to color every block in and not make an X. So then it's looking at their perspective. And part of what John Lee and I are teaching is, how does it apply to math and what's going on visual spatially? So
now I will say that last year when I did my speech, she did have audiovisual in the room.
That's what I thought.
And I'm thinking that Brandon was running it.
Okay.
So
I don't know if Brandon's coming.
Okay. So anyway, I think he's on the speakers list.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah.
So Sherry, when you did the activity of putting something on the screen, and then you said, and then you took it away. And you said, oh, did you miss that or something like that? And the word that popped in my head was saying, whoops, you know. Oh, did you miss that? Oh, sorry. you know, kind of attitude.
So I think when I wrote it, I had different wording than what I said today, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I was trying to, I'm trying to get to the point where I have like one word per note card that I can, it triggers the note card. But right now what I have is the entire speech wrote out on in a ring. And so I'm practicing whenever I can and getting feedback, but it's probably gonna morph into something new by the end of April. And who knows, maybe the night before I totally rewrite the thing, who knows?
Well, just to give you an example, I started my story out when I did my speech, and Sherry, you might remember this. I started my story out by saying, you know, I was racing to work. Every time I'd stop at a traffic light, I would look over and I would say, who are those people? You know, who are they? You know, who are those people? They're the guy sitting on the bench at the park reading a book, the girl, you know, with the baby stroller, the couple holding hand. Don't they have jobs? How come I'm working two jobs to try to pay my bills? And these people are like loving life. And on a Wednesday morning, they're at the park, and then a girl goes by on a bicycle, and I'm like, really? Doesn't she have a job? What's going on here? How come I'm working so hard, and it doesn't seem like the rest of the world is working as hard as I am, and I still can't pay my bills? And then I look down and realize that my gas tank is almost on empty. Well, I'm thinking, oh, please light, please turn green. Don't run out of gas here. I don't have time to stop and get gas because I'm racing between two jobs. And plus, so I hope I don't run out of gas. I want to get there and punch the time clock. And I'm hoping that, you know, once I dig through my wallet, that I even have enough cash to put gas in my car. So then I go on with my speech and I segue and tell all the different things. And then at the very end of my speech, I end it by saying, and now I'm the girl on the bike.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's how I tied both ends of my story and put my statistics in the middle. Yes, Debbie.
All along, when you told me you started to, you decided with this conversation with Mark about starting writing, and the first thing that popped into my head was for you to do the introduction with what you just said about driving in the car and seeing that, because that's a great way to, you know, segue into the story. And as for myself, what I wrote, and then when I end my story on the last page, I'm going to finish the daydream. And for you, you can say, I'm the girl on the bike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people will say, to me, that is a great ending.
Yeah.
For the both of us.
Because it makes you feel like you reached your objective.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so this is so important for you, Sherry, because your whole topic is becoming you. And so the story should be about you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So
I think
I see a rewrite starting.
Well, I'm writing a note to myself. So the ending story, I see I no longer have to destroy our trees with paper, because now I have the access to a computer. Assistive technology has changed my life, has changed my communication. And now my dream of owning a retreat center is in the works.
Yes, exactly.
There you go.
Yes. Now, Sherry, back in the, I don't know, sometime in that point, in the conversation you and Kathy were having, and you were talking about teachers having, they're not able to, the spending of time on each student is not giving them the quality that they need, correct? Does that make sense?
I don't think it's quality that they're missing. They're not intuitive enough in the cognitive understanding of when to do activities.
Okay. So my point is, I have an example. When, and I might have shared this before, but my oldest daughter, when her youngest was in third grade, the teacher came to her and said, I can't help Ellie anymore. I have to spend so much time over here with these students that I can't give her the quality that she needs because she's so smart. Now, fast forward from third grade, on May 13th, So Lori pulled him out of school and started homeschooling. Now, on May 13th, both Kaylee, who's the oldest, she's 18, and Ellie, who is 16, are graduating from college with their associate's degree. And on August 14th, they're starting college as juniors for their bachelor degree. I mean, that kind of goes with what you're talking about. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's how I can associate with everything that you're saying.
But thank God there was a mother that recognized that. Yes. In your daughter. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and Krista, and of course, I'm going to go and celebrate. I can hardly wait.
Krista was in a very similar situation where she was getting pushed to the side because she is a gifted student. Her challenge was with spelling. She had trouble spelling. And today she has the gift of Grammarly and word processing and stuff that fixes all of her issues. My thing was sentence structure. I never know what preposition and like one of my things with Kathy was, is it lead with? Is it lead through? Is it this? Like we talked about a bunch of different words. I don't know those connector words on what is the best word to say. And I play with sentences, but I'll tell you what, part of this speech, and this was really great for creating even the 5-day challenge. What I did was I rewrote, stuck it in GPT, had GPT do it six times, it lost some of my personality. I went back in after having those six versions of what GPT was thinking, and I reformatted it back to my voice. So this is probably the 11th version, and obviously I have to do it again and cut out some statistics, but the one about the fact that 75% of kids are at the basic level is just tormenting me. Yes. And I just found that one. I mean, I didn't realize it was that bad until I saw that one. And that was on the national report card. I'm like, oh my God.
Wow. That one is definitely an eye opener. Yeah.
And what's really ironic is, and this is not on there, but what's really ironic is kids that are gifted are writing at the basic level. Many of them. And it's because they just know, and they're not using the assistive tools to help them overcome the oral to written connection. So keep, when you're talking with your grandkids, make sure that they know that the assistive technologies that are out there, like Grammarly and some of those other ones, will help even the gifted person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I remember, also, oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Debbie.
I remember a couple of years ago, I forgot whose birthday it was, one of the grandkids. And of course, I write the message, right? Okay. And mom had to read it because they don't know how to read writing. And it was like, excuse me?
They don't have exposure. They don't have access. They don't have experience with it.
And so by the way,
the new standards are mandating cursive.
Good.
Because they're not going to be able to survive in the world if they can't read cursive. Kathy, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say that the more we read, the better writers we are. Mm-hmm. The more we read, because a lot of the written books out there have all been to the editors. And so it is the correct way to say things. And so the more we read, the more we think like we're the sentences that we're reading. And then the more we write like that. So the better reader we are, the better writer we are.
Yeah. Part of my problem was I had trouble reading.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I couldn't, I had trouble, but sorry, Debbie.
Sherry, what was that thing you said you popped your speech into? GDP or something?
Chat GPT.
Say that again.
Chat GPT. Let me get the link for you.
It's an artificial intelligence. We talked about that in one of our other masterminds, using artificial intelligence.
Okay.
Canva has some already built in. You can go to a Canva and open up a Canva. What is it? Is it a document poster? There's something in Canva. My daughter showed me. And you just type a sentence that says paragraph on canoeing, and Canva will write you a blog post on canoeing. Yeah.
There's another one that I've been using that takes things that I've written and put it out into seven forms of social media. It's only on iPhone, and it is just about ready to leave beta stage and go to live stage. Can I share my screen, Kathy?
Oh, let me click on the dots and make you co-host, and you should be able to share.
So, Debbie. ChatGPT looks like this. So, give me a topic.
Canoeing.
Yeah.
Create a list of top canoeing equipment. So one of the things about ChatGPT is you want to not make it a question. You want to make it a statement where it's giving a command.
Okay.
And then hit here, and then it blinks a little bit.
It's thinking. It's artificial intelligence. Sure, here are some top canoeing equipment.
Whoa.
She's just now writing a blog post. Look at that.
Mm-hmm. Holy moly.
Dry bag.
Yep, the waterproof bag for your gear. Yep. And they don't call it a rope when it has to do with water. It should be a line. It's a throw line, not a throw rope. What do you think of that, Debbie? Wow.
That's amazing. And then you can just...
So have either of you heard of Mike Kim?
Oh, yeah. I've taken several of his programs.
Okay. He just did a 3-day workshop on this. Yes. And he had ChatGPT. His command was write a summary of Mike Kim's book, You Are the Brand. He said it was in less than a minute that it had a 5-page paragraph summarizing his book, and it was accurate.
Yep.
Whoa.
So now, Debbie, with this, see, once you get that, now use it like PLR.
Yep.
Once the chat writes the article for you, now go in and make it personal. Now weave your story. Because now with that, I can say, you know, I was gifted this canoe when I was 18 years old, and I had no idea what equipment that I would need to go canoeing with my friends. And so for those of you that are excited about canoeing for the first time, here is a list of things that you'll want to have. See, so I can make it a personal story about me canoeing when I was 18 and didn't know what to take with me. So you see how that works?
Yes. That to me is like...
Yeah. So one of the things that I've been looking at doing is going into all the words on my 5-day challenge, on my about page and some of the other stuff, taking some of the things that I have been working on, plugging them in and saying, based on this material, can you rewrite this? So if you put a statement and then a colon, so you're giving it, please. So one of the things that my other business coach has been suggesting is, make this paragraph more emotional. Make this paragraph more visceral. Make this paragraph more persuasive. Make this paragraph more, and then whatever verb you want to put back there. And then you put in the previous information, it generates new.
And you just separate that with a colon.
Just separate it with a colon.
And then paste in your paragraph that you want it to rewrite.
Mm-hmm. So okay. Taking, for instance, my about page and the story that I have written there, based on things that you have shared with me in the past, I wanted to take that story, put it in ChatGPT, and you can command it, say, make this 500 words too. Like, so you can do like an and statement, make this more visceral and make it less than 500 words. Boom. And watch it generate. What it will not do.
Do what? I'm sorry.
Something it will not do, because I just had a class on this with my entrepreneurs group. He plugged in, write me an email to my wife about my fidelity. And ChatGPT wouldn't do it. So it does have some parameters that it has preset that it won't do some things. And you might ask it some like feeling and emotion if you ask it, what does it feel like and stuff, it'll say, I'm an AI. I can't answer that. I don't have any feelings.
I like the one where we had a good friend named Bill. And when he first got his iPhone, he said, "Hey Siri," he goes, if I take 0 friends times 0, how many friends do I have? And Siri said, "I am so sorry, Bill. You have no friends." So Siri does have some emotion. She was very sorry that he had no friends. My question is, what if I typed in the exact same command that you typed in? Will we get 2 different lists or will we get identical lists?
You can have it regenerate. Make sure you save what it does. If you're going to regenerate something and have it do it again, save that first thing because it wipes it out and it doesn't save it. So you can't compare the 2 comments that it made. But it's very easy. You just copy and paste everything into a Word doc and you have everything saved. I don't know if you saw a big list in the black. Mm-hmm. Those were all my previous chats. So it's okay. Nice as it saves stuff that I've done before.
Okay.
It is free or $20 a month. I still haven't figured out the benefit of the $20 a month, except they will guarantee that you get online. It has been so well used that there are times when you can't get online.
But just so you know, there are other AIs out there. You don't have to use that right. one.
Yeah. So one of the AIs that I'm looking for, Kathy, have you found one that, I don't know, maybe it's Canva that doesn't, I haven't figured out where it is. Brandon uses an intro where there's something in the background and then his 5-day challenge words like do kind of a flip and then they come up forward. I've been looking for an AI to create like a video like that. Maybe it is Canva and I just haven't found it yet.
Canva does that. And what it is once you create your Canva and you put your words in, there's a place where you can automate. And then when you click on the automate button, it'll say, do you want it to flash in? Do you want it to banner in? Do you want it to
cool.
go slow and get big? Yeah, how do you want it to move? And it's just called automate.
Okay.
And then you get to choose. And you can click automate. On all of them and see what each one of them looks like.
Yeah. I have done some automation on slides.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done like an introduction video. So I have to play around with that. I've been looking to make some.
Okay. Perfect. This has been great conversation.
It has.
I love it. Sherry, do you feel better about your speech?
Yes, I appreciate the feedback from both of you ladies. It was very helpful. I will do some more work at it and see if I can tighten it up a little bit and revisit it at another week because we have less than 30 days before we go there, girl.
I know. Yeah. When we get down there, we're going to have to get the van cleaned out, find a place to put the bike so we can fold the seats back up. We have our van is a Chrysler, what is it? Freestyle. Chrysler Freestyle. I should remember Freestyle.
That
matches. And it's the one where the seats disappear down into the floor. And we've got, other than our 2 seats up front, we've got all the rest of them folded down and we keep our bikes in there all the time. So no matter where we are, we can ride. And Mark says, we're going to have to take the bikes out so we can put a seat up for Sherry.
We're going to have to walk. Oh no.
So anyway, we don't have a storage facility, so we'll just put the bikes inside our condo that weekend when we head over.
Well, thank you. Do you know how far your hotel is from where the speeches are?
About a half an hour.
Oh, okay.
North. Yeah, I think we're not quite as far as we were last year. Last year we were up at Lake Worth, and it's closer than that. It's okay. Right below Lake Worth is where we're in between.
Hotel. And that was another thing that I thought about is maybe I need to be closer to where you are for for my bed and breakfast, Airbnb, then that's why I wanted to ask that question. So maybe I need to be up closer to you from Thursday into Friday, so you don't have to go traveling, because the place that I was looking at is three miles from Aloft.
Well, you know what? When we get off the call, I'll send over the property that we're at.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just going to add one point.
You go, girl.
Since I started using Grammarly, okay, every time I do a text message, when I do an email or whatever, it's always in there telling me to, you know, change this, change that. And it's like, to me, it's helping me have better grammar.
Yes.
Because it's just amazing. And when I finished writing what I sent you, my Grammarly actually gave me a 99.
Very good.
So I was kind of pleased. Oh, look at that.
He finally settled down. That's what he wanted. He wanted to be on my lap.
I love it. Ladies, this has been a lot of fun. I really love the conversation today. And again, it's all about meeting you gals on where you are and what you're working on. That's the whole point of the mastermind is.
And I feel like I take over, and I'm sorry, Debbie. I feel like I take over sometimes.
Sherry? We all learn, because just sometimes I have to say it out loud and it just reaffirms something that I've been working on, and it just lets me know. And after I went to Gatlinburg and realized the storytelling was so powerful, and then listening to your speech and putting your story on each end of the statistics, I realized that folks can find my story on my electronic business card, which I'm using Linktree as my electronic business card, but I need to actually put a link of my story right on my business card and not anticipate that people that go there will click around long enough to find my story. And here's why. You can look at my Linktree. If you were a stranger and didn't know me at all, you would click on my Linktree and go, well, good for her. Glad she's doing so well. But that doesn't connect with them because they haven't heard the story. You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to lead. I need to practice what I preach, and I need to lead on my business card with my story.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's dot cards?
Yeah, I want to show you. So you were talking about electronic business card. This is an actual, looks like a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
That has all your information on it, that all you do is you share the credit card with somebody and they have all your information that you can carry with you.
So they're just what, connecting via Bluetooth? And
they connect to a web browser.
Okay. Now, I find that's good if you've got folks that understand that. I run into folks that they don't even email or text on their phone yet. And so I find what works for me, it's not quite as tech savvy, but I find that if I use the Linktree and I just say, hey, what's your phone number? I'll just text you over my business card. And even then they'll go, what? You don't have a card? And I go, it's an electronic card. I'll just text it to you. And so now, see, it gives me an excuse to ask a perfect stranger for their phone number. And then I can name it and make a little note in the notes on where I met them or what event I was at. And so now it actually is a better networking for me than just handing out a business card, because it gives me an excuse to get somebody's phone number. And then I just paste my Linktree link and send it. And then I always say something like, it was so great to meet you at the meetup last night, and here's my electronic business card. But then I realize they're going to click on it and go, well, good for her. She's got a book and she's got, you know, because when we meet some of these people, I feel like they're not in my league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I meet some big speaker or some author or whatever, and I don't feel like they're even in my league. So I don't feel like I can connect intimately with them in a conversation, because I feel like they're not going to be interested in little old me. And so then it occurs to me that, am I making people feel that way when I send them that polished link tree that shows I've got a website and an international academy and I'm an author of a book and I've got a podcast and I've got a blog, and, you know, and it makes it look like I'm all that. And so I just think it's important that I lead with my story.
Can you make up another link tree card and have it more basic of stuff for the instance that you were just describing?
I could
send them that.
Yeah, I could. But what I wanted, the whole goal of my link tree is I wanted all of the stuff at the top of my funnel, all my freebies where people might connect with me, like listen to a podcast, read a blog post, do a strategy call, do one of the free meetups. I wanted all the free stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, if they go, oh, I love podcasts, let me click and listen to some, or, oh, I like to read blogs, or, oh, I like the free meetups. That way they can click in wherever they, whatever it is they like to do. It just is all those different avenues on how they can connect with me. But I've realized I have to make them want to connect with me and not feel like, like, oh, good for her, you know? And so that's why I think it's important that I lead with my story.
I agree.
Yeah. Any other comments?
Well, you can get 5 dot cards for $15 each.
Okay.
But if you only get one, it's $20 each. So I don't know. Maybe we can get together and all create a dot card if we get, I don't know. I don't know
how it'll work. Now, also, just so you guys know, just to give you the whole big picture, the link tree does allow you to create a QR code and an online business card called Popl, P-O-P-L, allows you to create a QR code. And so I find that if you create the QR code, those that are into that, they just put their camera on their phone over on your QR code, and they've got your whole business card, electronic business card. And then when that happens, it automatically sends you the phone number that got your stuff. So it still gives you a way to cross network. But I find what works for me, and I think it's just more on a personal level, I find if I just cozy up next to the person and say, hey, what's your phone number? I'll go ahead and send you my electronic business card. It makes it a more personal touch. And because they're giving me their phone number, and then I can say, now give me your name again. And I just save it right there in front of them and send them my link tree. And I find that works really, and I've tried all the different ways, and I find that really works for connecting with people for me.
Yeah.
And I don't have to print business cards and carry them around and all that.
Well, exactly. That was what I was thinking of with the dot card, is then I can have that because I have the little thing on the back of my phone.
Yep.
Stick it in there and I'd have it with me, and I can just go, here's my business card. Take a picture.
Yep. I love it. Yeah. Now Popl, the P-O-P-L, I have one and it's buried in behind my case. Popl gives me a little circle that I stick on here, and then put my case on, and it'll, other phones will read through my case.
Ah, okay.
But Popl only gives you,
Actually that's one of the things that, Dot does.
Yeah. But Popl
on
just
on gives another page on another page. Dot card has these little things that you can stick on your phone.
Yeah. So with Popl though, it just gives you the who, what, when, where, how. It doesn't give you a place where you can link to URLs that you want to send your folks to, which is why I like Linktree for my card, because I like to link them over to my website and to my blog and to my podcast. It's all the free stuff. Yeah, I've got all those links on there. So that's why I like Linktree, but that's just me. You have to use what works best for you. And I like the whole dot card idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they have two versions of dots. One you can put on the outside of your case. One you can put underneath. So I might get that dot because then I can stick it right back here.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have that with me, I'm just looking at what I need to do to prepare for this trip and what I need to do to prepare for trips in the future.
Yeah, because everybody's going to want to connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge networking event for you as well as, getting up there and giving a speech and all that good stuff.
Yeah. The questions I have, I know we're still recording and I'm taking your time. Are you having a table with your stuff at the thing like they did last year? Did you have a table and are you going to have one again?
No, I am not.
Okay.
We're just going to come over and be in the audience.
What was at your table last year?
I didn't do a table last year. They have a little expo going on as well. And so folks could set up tables and display their own products and services. It's a way to help advertise. And it's a way for Wendy to actually generate some cash flow to help pay for the event because she has to, pay for the space and all, there's some cost involved for her to put this on. And it's a way to offset her cost. I didn't last year because I was concerned, I was giving a speech and I didn't want to have to divide my brain cells into running an expo table and being prepared for a speech. And this year, we just decided kind of at the last minute that we were going to go and just to support Wendy and everything that she's doing. And so, honestly, I'll just say it out loud. I don't want to work that hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched some of your posts on Facebook.
Yeah. I only have 9 copies of my book. I don't know if this is a crowd that would even want my book. And do I want to have the weight of my book on the airplane?
Oh.
Because my book isn't thin like Kathy Mila's. And Kathy Mila didn't have to put it on a plane.
Well, now what you could do, you could do an author's order. Author copies at a reduced price and do an order and have it shipped directly down there. And don't take it on the airplane. Now, the problem is you have to get it back, whatever you don't sell. Now,
Kathy takes it to Sarasota, but then you're not driving from Sarasota back through. That's the problem.
Yeah, we're not driving. We're flying too. So if it were me, I would probably take one or two if you want to give them out, like to Wendy and Patricia or whatever.
I gave one to Wendy last year.
Okay. And then
forward it right on to Lori.
Okay. Well, if it were me, I would probably have one that I could display and make it clear that it's a display, have like a little easel to put it on or something. And make it clear that it's a display and then just have folks order if they want a copy.
So they could just go onto Amazon. They can order a copy on Amazon. Amazon link.
Okay. Well, and they'll be glad that they don't have to put it on the plane to take home.
Well, and then let me ask you this. Do you have physical copies still at your house?
Like I said, I have 9 left.
Okay. Because some folks, the whole appeal of hearing a speaker is they want an autographed version. So, if you want to offer autographs, then they would have to order from your website so that you could go out in your garage and autograph one and then mail it to them. But you can certainly add shipping onto a book like that.
No, I do.
And a book rate is cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, usually if they want an autograph copy, it's $19.99 on Amazon. They can get it for $14.95.
Okay. So my point is that you might have an option that they can either order from Amazon or order an autograph copy from you.
Yeah. And I'm going to, and my mission, my thought with that is that when I want to start advertising is that upcharge at some point, I want to take all of those signed and I want to forward that on and donate them to the International Dyslexia Association. I just haven't started to advertise and do that yet.
Okay. That's
what I want to do for anybody who does the upsell. Yeah, they're getting my signature, but that difference is going to automatically get sent over to IDA.
Yeah, and put that in your whole description. Yes. One of the other things that work really well for your five-day challenge, if you want to get folks in, if they buy a book, they get a free ticket to the challenge. That's a great way to sell books. You get the sales, and all they have to do is send you a receipt from Amazon or show a screen print from Amazon that they ordered the book. And then that's their free ticket into the five-day challenge.
Are you charging for all five-day challenges then?
No, I'm just saying if you want to charge for a five-day challenge, you're selling a book could be the cost to get into the free challenge. I saw someone do that the other day and I thought, that's a genius idea. It increases their book sales and it brings people into the challenge that maybe you would have done for free.
Okay.
I
got to tell you this. I just got a spam call. Fighting Evolution Wrestling.
All righty then.
Weird. You never know where they're going to come from.
Ladies, this has been a lot of fun. I've learned a lot. So does everybody feel like they got some value out of today's call, this mastermind?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I love it.
I appreciate what you guys are doing and helping. It helps.
You're welcome.
Love you guys.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.